The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
SARS-CoV-1 clearly originated in China, and we were fortunate to escape a major pandemic. So we really had to learn a lot more about the viruses that were there, about whether or not people were getting infected with bad viruses. So in a very minor collaboration, as part of a subcontract of a grant, we had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Isn't it great when they say the quiet part out loud? I think he's done that twice. I think that's happened twice. He's got communists on the brain. We had this just a minor collaboration with the Chinese Chinese scientists, as if there's any difference. I mean, come on. They're scientists in China. These are communists. Just go ahead and say it. You want to say it. You've almost said it twice. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're certainly glad and grateful that you're joining our growing audience. You can get to the audio stream of this show with our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. And if you want to watch the set and me, yours truly, you want to see our beautiful studio here in Edmond, you've got to go to our website. We offer it exclusively at thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to all of these live stream productions, and also you can get to the podcast that we post after the fact if you prefer to listen on demand. So I like how Lord Fauci talks about the collaborative work that he did with the communists, or actually the scientists in Wuhan. It was a collaborative effort, and he wanted to stress later in that same exchange that we didn't create the virus. No, the Chinese communists actually helped us. I mean, it came from China, and I'm not even sure what he means by how we were fortunate to escape a major pandemic. We escaped. That's all that I put on my headphones again today at the top of the hour. First word I hear, COVID. It's every single day, and it's been that way for 2 years. The United States didn't, not the way Fauci's been talking the last 2 years. I mean, I would agree it's been overblown. I would agree that it's been all part of the communist attack, the plan to take out Donald Trump, the plan to establish a new world order. You've had Western leaders say it in exactly those terms. This is the opportunity to disrupt everything, to establish a great reset, to build everything back better after we destroy it top to bottom. A collaborative work with the Chinese communists. It's perfect. I mean, you can't make this up. Listen to Tucker Carlson last night as he's talking about the lies that are being exposed. Clip two.
Research suggests that it's possible the vaccinated are more likely to get and transmit this virus than the unvaccinated are. What is clear is that people who've had the shot can easily get infected and easily give it to others. The epicenter of the latest outbreak was the most vaccinated city in the country, New York. So at this point, there is no remaining doubt the experts were completely wrong about what the vaccines could do. There are a lot of wrong guesses in science, as there are in life. Science is not a volume of established knowledge. Science is a way of thinking. It's a process of seeking the truth. And very often in scientific research, you discover that your assumptions were totally off, so you just adjust from there. There's nothing immoral about any of that. You just have to admit that you were wrong. That's the requirement. You cannot lie. Lying is the enemy of science. If you are still pretending that the COVID vaccines work as advertised, you are a liar. There's no way around it. You have no place in public health or even hosting a show on CNN. You're doing too much damage to the country.
In that same segment, he played a montage of all of the all of the people that have sold us on the vaccine, Pfizer, Moderna, that you get, in the words of Fauci, if you get vaccinated, I mean, it stops. The vaccine stops at you. It doesn't spread. All lies. And as Tucker brings out, the lies, the constant stream of lies, it's just it's an enemy of science, true science. We're just seeing communist propaganda. Science falsely so-called, as the Apostle Paul put it. I mentioned on yesterday's show this this interview that went viral. Joe Rogan and Dr. Robert Malone, he's the one who created the mRNA technology from which we got these vaccines. So you would think that people would be just lining up to get him interviewed because of how much he knows, because of his background, because of his expertise. But it doesn't align with Lord Fauci. And so he's been blotted out of Twitter. He's been deleted from Twitter. The man who designed the very technology that Pfizer and these big pharma companies are using. And it's all for big pharma. It's all about the Benjamins. It's all about the money, the dollars. And Dr. Malone brought this out in his exchange with Joe Rogan. Listen to this, clip six.
People have just decided, because they're scared and because they want a solution, that the pharmaceutical companies have their best interests at heart and that they're not these machines that are designed to make money. And they sell drugs, and the drugs are often beneficial, but their main goal is to make money. And if they can fudge the data, if they can move the numbers around, if they can delete negative consequences.
Pfizer is one of the most criminal pharmaceutical organizations in the world based on their past legal history and fines. What do those fines include? Bribing physicians. Okay? It is a cost-benefit analysis in the pharmaceutical industry about misbehavior. They are not grounded in the ethical principles that you and I, as average people, believe in. They don't live in that world. As you appropriately point out, they are about profit, return on investment. And furthermore, the overlords that own them, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, etc., these large, massive funds that are completely decoupled from nation states, have no moral core. They have no moral purpose. Their only purpose is return on investment.
The overlords, they're just looking to get a return on their investment. Pfizer, this is why the Pfizer CEO comes out on with a statement every other day, it seems, and says, hey, we've got something even better. We've got something that's going to be perfect. And that's also going to generate tens of billions of dollars for our company. And he'll even say it. Stunningly, he'll even say it on CNBC. Yeah, this is great for our stock. This is great for our shareholders. There's Dr. Malone pointing out the obvious. And how does big tech respond? Well, hey, we've got to delete this man from Twitter, from Facebook. Joe Rogan, though, I mean, he's got tens of millions of people listening to him. There's a lot more people who watch him than watch CNN. And this may be why, if on YouTube, you know, they'll delete maybe this one interview, but not the whole channel, because they know how powerful. They know how powerful this commentator is. He's exposing a lot of the lies. He's exposing a lot of the propaganda. We mentioned this Dr. Lena Wen. She's the communist on CNN who came out and said, you know, cloth masks don't work. And you hear that at first. And, you know, we were kind of hopeful that, okay, maybe people are finally waking up to the fact that the cloth doesn't work. But if you know anything about the communists, the propagandists in the media, they're not going to take that and then apologize for getting it wrong. They double down. That's the way they work. Listen to this exchange, or I guess there's a couple of commentators here in this news segment from NBC, I believe, this morning, clip 11.
They go all the way over your head. Not the most comfortable, but very, very snug. Not a lot of air is getting in between the sides of my cheeks or the tops of my cheeks.
What's the recommendation for our youngest learners?
I actually just sent my kids out the door this morning, minutes ago, with two masks. He says, obviously, the KN95, N95 are the most effective, but it can be really hard to find them in small kid sizes. And also, to keep them on your kids all day, they're not the most comfortable. So you really want to make sure you have one that fits your child's face, and you want to layer the cloth mask over that mask. So the surgical mask goes on first, and then the cloth mask.
So double mask. All day long, she said. Notice she also pointed out, hey, it's snug, it's not very comfortable, and there's not much air that gets in there. It seems like that for children, they're going to need some air if they're going to have a double mask on all day long. I mean, this is madness. It's madness. Here you've got this, the weakest strain of all, Omicron. And now they're disrupting all of the school systems. They didn't even, finally they got back into school back in August, even through the Delta variant, which was more deadly by far. Then Omicron comes out, it spreads faster, but it's weak. It's like a cold, basically. And so you have this story from the New York Times just this morning. It's chaos as schools confront Omicron. And this is how they're confronting it. Double mask. Put on the N95 and a cloth mask to go with it. Get the surgical, get the cloth, put them both on. And hey, it's great. It's super uncomfortable and air can't even get in. Isn't that wonderful? Think about strapping this to your child for 6, 7, 8 hours in a day. Day after day after day. I mean, this is the kind of madness. If time were to go on long enough, historians would look back at this moment and think, what happened? It's Dr. Malone who talked about the mass psychosis. We got into the will worship on yesterday's show. But this is how Dr. Malone explains it. I'll play you the clip a little bit later. It's a kind of mass psychosis, mental derangement, delusion. It's all around us. Listen to this from Nicole Wallace. I presume she's a mother, and she just can't believe there aren't more children getting the jab. Clip 3.
And is it too early to call it a failure at this point that this country hasn't? I mean, kids, if you have a young child, you have had so many vaccinations by the time they go to kindergarten. It just I'm gobsmacked by the fact that the number is, I think it was 14% last week.
You can't believe it. All of our children should get this. 5-year-olds. She's gobsmacked that more aren't getting it. You know, she does bring up a good point. That, well, this is customary. I mean, our children are getting, I mean, it used to be a few vaccinations. Now, I mean, doctors, if they had their way, they'd shoot them up with dozens when they're just little children. But to even compare, I mean, we're not for those vaccines either, but to even compare those to this experimental drug, this gene therapy, this injecting a spike protein into your body and something that hasn't been tested. And now, like we've played this week, you've got all these reports coming out of Australia and elsewhere about excess deaths. The government in Australia, they're now paying out, paying some large sums of money to those that have had these adverse reactions to the vaccines, to the drugs. And yet the propaganda, it just continues to pour forth. Look at what the White House produced just recently, clip 4.
What do you think about getting the COVID vaccine?
A little nervous.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And you're excited. I was a little nervous and a little excited when I got my first one too, and I'm really glad I got it. Have you gotten your first dose yet? Are you gonna get it soon?
Wait, I'm getting mine on the 15th. My mom got her booster shot.
She did. Oh, me too. Me too. We're all doing our part to stay healthy.
Yeah, it's all about health. It's all about keeping our children healthy. In fact, it's satanic, this kind of attack. And that report coming out of Indiana that I gave to you yesterday, all of these younger people, working age, 18 to 64, and they're just dying. Excess deaths. You heard it from the doctor himself yesterday. I mean, 10% higher would be an alarm bell going off. 40%? You can go back and listen to yesterday's show on your own. And all this, as I say, for a variant that quite a few people are now saying that, look, because this is weak and mild and it's spread so fast, we're looking at the end of this pandemic in just a few weeks. Herd immunity. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Yesterday, it says it's far less lethal than previous versions, and its fast spread may finally push us to herd immunity. It says Omicron takes lives, so does the flu. Now you've got more and more of these commentators comparing it to the flu. Something that we did from the very beginning. Yes, it was a bad flu. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's killed people. But like it points out here, so does the flu. The cure, though, has just been so much worse than the disease itself. And there's if your eyes are open to see, there are articles, there are commentators, more and more of them, pointing out the obvious. The journal says, if antibodies to the Omicron variant are even 50% effective in reducing the risk of death for more lethal variants, those antibodies could save far more lives than the virus costs. But never mind this. Never mind this. Hey, strap up the kids with double masks, even though we didn't do that with the variant, the Delta variant. Cancel schools. Or if you keep it open, you see how they want them to dress. It says bureaucrats in Europe, Latin America, and some U.S. states seem to be saying, let's wait for the cases to soar, then wait a little longer until the crisis is subsiding, then let's blow up the economy after it's too late to save any lives. I mean, that's a pretty good summary of what the strategy has been. Throw in the vaccines. This obsession to get everybody vaxxed. And that about sums it up. Here there's all these infections. A million in America just yesterday. And yet it's weak. But that doesn't matter. Everybody's getting tested. People travel with tests, as I pointed out yesterday. Triple jab. They've got a test in their wallet or purse. And then they can afford... The rich liberals, they can afford to stay in a hotel in Iceland for 10 days. No problem. These people are so out of touch with reality and with what the cure, quote unquote, is actually doing, what it's causing, the harm that it's causing. This is from Fox News yesterday. Between 2020 and 2021, nearly 79,000 people between 18 and 45 years old, 37,000 in 2020 and 41,000 in 2021 died of fentanyl overdoses. The data analysis from opioid awareness organization Families Against Fentanyl shows. It says comparatively, between January 1 of 2020 and just this December of 2021, there were more than 53,000 COVID-19 deaths among those between the ages of 18 and 49, according to data from the CDC. So 49,000 deaths for this younger bracket over 2 years, and during that same period, almost 80,000 OD'd on fentanyl. And you hear nothing about it, virtually nothing. Young people overdosing. And this is just one statistic. This is just one of many different areas of life where we're just seeing these astronomical figures, excess deaths brought on by the lockdown, brought on by the government ruining businesses, brought on, yes, by the vaccines as well. It's all contributing to make matters so much worse. In the interview with Joe Rogan, Dr. Malone talked about how the government actively worked to suppress the early treatment, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and so on, because, again, it was all vaccine. The vaccine is the only thing that's going to make billions for Big Pharma and their overlords. And so they wanted to downplay any kind of treatment. You've seen the news in the last 2 years. You haven't seen an NBC segment where it's talked about, all right, if you get the COVID, here's how you handle it. Even now, with all these infections spreading all over the place, it's still all about the jab. I played the clip for you yesterday where Lord Fauci himself says, if you've gotten the jab, hang out with people who've gotten the jab. Stay away from the unvaccinated. They're dangerous. And like Tucker brought out in that clip I just played, there's now studies showing that if you're vaccinated, you're more likely to get the disease and to spread it. Listen to Dr. Malone on that interview from a few days ago, clip 7.
There's good modeling studies that probably 500,000 excess deaths have happened in the United States through the intentional blockade of early treatment by the U.S. government.
Half a million.
That is a well-documented number.
Blockading the early treatment. All the things that Donald Trump spoke of there in the early to mid part of 2020. And the media, of course, they couldn't side with him. He's the bad orange man. And then the vaccines come along months later, and you don't hear anything, virtually nothing, about how to treat it. And here again, it's not that the treatment is the incredible cure-all either. But this is big pharma. This is big government. This is big media, big tech, all working to promote, to push an agenda. An agenda that in many cases makes people a lot of money. Even if it hurts people, even if it hurts the ordinary sheeple, it sure generates a lot of income. Dr. Malone, he talked about how that the government is just out of control and lawless with these mandates for these experimental drugs. It's totally illegal to try to impose. I saw a story, I think it was at Conservative Treehouse, this mom, her son brought a friend over to the house, and the mom gave the guest a jab without even asking the parent. This is someone under 18 years of age. People are just demon-possessed, if not possessed, certainly heavily influenced. Think about the thinking, the mentality of an adult mind, supposedly, an adult mind that says, I got to get this kid jabbed, even if his parents are against it. I've got to stick this into his arm. How she even got the needle and the treatment or the vaccine, who knows? But this is sickening stuff. It is some kind of mass formation psychosis. Listen to Dr. Malone as he explains that in the interview with Rogan, clip 8.
Basically, European intellectual inquiry into what happened in Germany in the 20s and 30s. You know, very intelligent, highly educated population, and they went barking mad. And how did that happen? The answer is mass formation psychosis. When you have a society that has become decoupled from each other and has free-floating anxiety and a sense that things don't make sense, we can't understand it, and then their attention gets focused by a leader or a series of events on one small point, just like hypnosis, they literally become hypnotized and can be led anywhere. And one of the aspects of that phenomena is the people that they identify as their leaders, the ones typically that come in and say, you have this pain and I can solve it for you. I and I alone, okay, can fix this problem for you. Okay, then they will lead, they will follow that person through. It doesn't matter whether they lie to him or whatever. The data are irrelevant. And furthermore, anybody who questions that narrative is to be immediately attacked. They are the other. This is central to mass formation psychosis. And this is what has happened.
Yesterday on the show, I referred you back to that article of my father wrote in May of 2020, The Dangerous New Age of Worshipping the Will. That's what Dr. Malone was talking about a few days ago. We were on it at thetrumpet.com a year and a half ago, more than that, about 20 months ago, as we were putting that article together. A Dangerous New Age, my father referring back to Hitler. I mean, Dr. Malone says European intellectual inquiry into what happened in Germany in the 1920s and 30s. And in that dangerous age of will worship, my father talked about Adolf Hitler, what he wrote in Mein Kampf, how that the masses were more likely to believe a really big lie than smaller lies, because, well, everybody's guilty of small lies, but we all like to think, well, I would never tell a really, really big lie. And so Satan comes along, working through his minions, and he tells a real whopper of a lie, and people en masse go along with it. They believe it. They become like the foot soldiers or the apostles, as the unelected governor of New York likes to put it. They are devout disciples going out spreading these lies. My father asked in that article, we have not learned from this history as we should. Could something similar happen today? Could it happen in America? Well, the answer is yes, it is happening. If you haven't subscribed yet to the Trumpet Magazine, you can see why you need to be a subscriber. Tomorrow's news today. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Speaking of mass psychosis, as I said to you yesterday, we're coming up to the January 6th anniversary, and the wheels are turning at the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC. I mean, this was the worst attack on our democracy, worse than the Civil War, worse than 9/11. This fake insurrection. Frank Meehl, he has a great piece at Real Clear Politics, The Big Lie and the Elastic Truth, How to Invent a Coup. The Big Lie, he says, and the Elastic Truth. Listen to this. He says, as we approach the anniversary of January 6th insurrection, the unspoken truth is that Donald Trump had nothing to gain and everything to lose by the violent assault on the Capitol that day. The only chance of keeping Trump in the White House was not by invading the Capitol, but by keeping it secure while our representatives debated the validity of the election using the entirely constitutional process taking place inside the halls of Congress. There were congressmen and senators that were lawfully protesting the results. That's what was going on. That's what was happening on January 6th. That's why Donald Trump said to his supporters, you got to go and voice your support for this process. It's all constitutional. It says here, so ask yourself, who benefited from the supposed coup at the Capitol? Not Trump. Not the Republicans who had put themselves in the line to support him with the evidence of voting irregularities in several states. And he asks again, who benefits? None other than the very Democrats who for the last year have worked tirelessly to discredit Trump and to find some way to disqualify him from being elected president again in 2024. I played those clips for you yesterday from Liz Cheney. It's all about 2024. It's all about keeping him from ever running for a political office again. And so the big lie started in 2015 and 16 with the Russia collusion hoax. And then it went right through all the impeachments and everything else along the way during the Trump presidency. And it culminated in January 6th. All of these FBI informants and agents and Antifa provocateurs, all of them infiltrating, inciting. Grandma got arrested, but not Ray, whatever his name was. We need to go to the Capitol. He didn't get arrested. He's the one that led the charge. And then yesterday, you heard the report, MSNBC talking about how that, yeah, nobody fired a weapon. Thankfully, I mean, it could have been so much worse. Weapons were being fired, and it wasn't the Trump supporters firing them. That's the truth. Release all the video footage. If you really want to get to the truth, as the January 6th Commission says that it does, they don't. It's a highly partisan effort. It's just yet another attack on Jeroboam, another attack on Donald Trump. Listen to this MSNBC commentator describing the obvious voter fraud, not from 2020, the obvious voter fraud in 2022, in 2024. Clip five.
I mean, we all saw January 6th, and we kind of forget. We were worried that on Inauguration Day, President Trump then would not leave the White House. Take this to a local level where there's not a lot of security, where maybe the elected law enforcement or the local security officials are part of that movement. It can happen in a much smaller scale, and it would be absolutely devastating for the country. And it would be a precursor for what I think you might see in 2024 should President Trump run again.
He's still on. Trump won't leave the White House. We're a year removed from Donald Trump leaving the White House, and he still is saying, remember, he wasn't going to leave the White House. There's going to be some voter fraud in the next election. And then again in 2020, they love to talk about voter fraud in every election cycle except 2020. That one was just perfect. 100 million mail-in ballots. Yeah, no nefarious activity going on there. Everything was perfect. The conservative treehouse, this is the one I mentioned yesterday. I didn't get a chance to go through it. But it says here, despite the predictability and transparency of the propaganda effort, the media and the Democrats are going all in. All the broadcast Sunday talk shows were filled with the democracy in danger talking points, using the Jan 6, 2021 Capitol Hill protest to drive the agenda. It says here, we can likely expect an entire week of building apoplexy, culminating in some form of DC release. The Lawfare crew and the J6 committee members have been producing this pantomime for almost a year, and it kicks off the 2022 Democrat mid-year election effort. The point that conservative Treehouse makes here is that this is all they have left because the economy's dreadful. The numbers just keep getting worse and worse. You had Joe Biden yesterday saying something in his fake set about the high cost of meat. Listen to just get an idea of how out of touch this illegitimate administration is. Listen to the fake president from yesterday. I think it's clip 10.
But I was sitting in my kitchen yesterday, and there's a sunroom off the kitchen. And my wife was there with her sister and a good friend named Marianne. And she was saying, do you realize it's over $5 for a pound of hamburger meat? $5? Well, this is partly, you know, the pound of beef today costs $5 compared to less than $4 before the pandemic.
Who knows what he's trying to say there? But the fact that you have the fake president in a fake set, and behind him you have a fake window and fake snow. A few weeks ago, it was the supply chain crisis in his window. Now it's snow. I mean, this is, you can't make this stuff up. America under attack, just like our booklet says. There he is talking about $5 for a pound of hamburger meat. And what's the solution? Well, we have nothing. Conservative Treehouse says here, along with the traditional Democrat pearl clutchers and Republican wing of the Uniparty is putting forth the insufferables, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Pete Miser, and the one-eyed Cheney, Dan Crenshaw. Additionally, it says the collapse of the winter of death narrative, combined with the inability of a new canine in the White House to rebrand the occupant, means even more emphasis will be placed on the January 6th nonsense this week. In other words, they have nothing. And so it's all in on January 6th. It's all in on the worst attack on the Capitol since 1812 or since the Civil War, whatever it is. Conservative Treehouse says it's not going out on a limb to say that the New York Times, Washington Post, and Politico most likely have their Jan 6 supportive articles written and in the queue for sequentially planned distribution all week. All week. The New York Times, this was from their editorial board over the weekend. It says here, every day is January 6th now. Can you believe this? Every day? All those people that died in the summer rioting of 2020, all the businesses that were burned down, the livelihoods that were destroyed, the people that were murdered. And this is what they have to say about January 6th. This should be our focus every single day. Every day. This article talks about how the very survival of the American Republic depends on looking back on January 6th. The Times says here, 1 year after the smoke and the broken glass, the mock gallows and the very real bloodshed of that awful day. Bloodshed even. Yeah, who died? Whose blood spilled? Let's talk about that. They don't want to get into specifics there, though. Says it's tempting to look back and imagine that we can in fact simply look back. It says to imagine that what happened on January 6, 2021, a deadly riot at the seat of American government incited by a defeated president. No, incited by the communist radicals among us, including those working in media. Amid a last-ditch effort to thwart the transfer of power to his successor. But keep in mind what was going on in Congress that day. You had senators and congressmen that were going to stand up and protest the results, which the Constitution allows for. And this is what the propagandists, the communists, and the media, and in the Democrat Party refused to hear. They would have nothing of it. They wanted the assault on the Capitol. They opened the doors to the protesters. They wanted to stop the proceedings. And then the weak Republicans who came along 4 hours later and said, well, forget about our constitutional duty here. There's been some violence today. Violence incited by Antifa. Violence incited by the FBI. America's own FBI. It says here, well, it talks about how that, you know, some might say, hey, let's move on from January 6th. The New York Times says, no, we can't. Every day is January 6th. Back to the conservative treehouse. It says the Democrats must distract to something, must point to something, because there's literally not a single positive accomplishment for them to refer to on anything. So it's all part of the attack, as I say, and you can expect a steady diet of it, in the next few days. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can write us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
We talked at the end of yesterday's show about Jesus Christ and how he stirred up the Spirit of God, how that he could discern when the virtue of God's power had left his mind, his body, because of those tremendous miracles, raising people from the dead, healing people from head to toe, feeding people, thousands of people miraculously. And in between all of those stunning miracles, he continually retreated away from the masses, the crowds, even the disciples, in order to draw near to God, his Father in heaven. In our day, there's another example we could point to, Herbert Armstrong, a man who was led by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says about the office that he fulfilled. It says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Eternal unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, human might, that is, nor by power, nor by human power, but by my spirit, saith the Eternal of hosts. The work that God did through his end time servant, that end time Zerubbabel, a miraculous work. It was all brought on by the power of God's Holy Spirit. You read through the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong, and you see how that he just faced one obstacle right after another. And that same passage there in Zechariah 4 says that by God's power, by God's Spirit, those obstacles, those mountain-sized obstacles, they were just removed. God just shoved them aside. And the work moved forward by the power of God's Spirit. So here's an example, Herbert Armstrong, of one who yielded to God's power, God's government, God's authority. Here's an example of one who followed in the steps of Jesus Christ, who was led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, who let the mind of Jesus Christ in, Philippians 2:5. Here's a magnificent example of someone who was just empowered by the Spirit of God. My father, he gave a message recently where he took us through several verses in the book of Revelation, and he was delving into a study of the Spirit referred to over and again in those early chapters of Revelation. He made the point that we have to be led by the Spirit of God. We can't grow any other way. We can't produce the fruits listed off in Galatians 5 any other way, except by the Spirit of God. We can actually look at that quickly, Galatians chapter 5. And toward the end of the chapter, where it lists off the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Fruit like you would see in an orchard. That's the, you know, the colorful, most visible, that's the edible part of the tree. I mean, that's the best part. That's what you're waiting and waiting and waiting for. And so when God gives us a down payment of our eternal inheritance, our future, when he gives us that little portion of his Spirit at baptism and the laying on of hands, from there we're to, as I've been saying, to grow and to overcome and to produce fruit, spiritual fruit. This is from Galatians 5 and verse 22. It says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's God's love, agape love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. Notice it's the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit is of God. The Spirit is God's power. That's Acts 1, verses 6 through 8. So it's God's character and nature. These are godly fruits. And we're able to produce them by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Just like Mr. Armstrong did. It says, And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we're living in the Spirit, remember John 4:24, I mentioned that one yesterday. We worship God in spirit and in truth. So walk in these ways, walk in this truth, walk in the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit. This is from The Last Hour. I gave this quote to you yesterday. My father writes, Does God directly guide you? The sons of God are led by the Spirit. God directly guides and leads them. He doesn't force them. Obedient sons voluntarily submit to their father. Parents who love their children in the right way inspire a deep love from their children in return. It says that's what God's doing with us. Christ set the example of obeying the Father. If he's coming in our flesh, he does the same in us. If he's living in us, 1 John 4:2, then he's living the same way that he did 2,000 years ago. He lived by the Spirit of God. This is why, as I say, you repeatedly pulled away at various moments to cry out to the Father in heaven, to cry out to God in prayer, to be filled with those spiritual virtues, to produce the fruit that we just read about there in Galatians chapter 5. Romans 8, I'll just leave that to you to study on your own time, but the whole chapter, just a wonderful chapter about the Spirit of God and the carnal nature or the carnal spirit of man, and how that these two are warring against one another. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, well, I read these to you yesterday. Let me just repeat verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So praying in the Spirit, we just read in Galatians 5 about walking in the Spirit, walking in this way of life. We've mentioned on a previous program the importance of that daily renewal, 2 Corinthians 4:16, to be renewed daily through prayer, through Bible study, to ask God daily for more of His Spirit, Luke 11 and verse 13, and then to follow God, to follow in the steps of Christ. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2. We can look at actually verse 9. Let's start there. And then there's another verse I'll try to pick up. I don't have it in my notes. The one that we often refer to as far as following in that example. But 2 Peter 2. And starting in verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. God has called us out of the darkness of this world, I should say, and we're to show forth virtues. A chosen generation, royal priesthood, peculiar, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you. You can look into the margin of the King James Version and see that the word praises there is also a word that could be translated virtues. Show forth these virtues, just like Jesus did. Jesus could tell when that woman touched the hem of His garment, He could tell that virtue had been drained from Him, that goodness had proceeded out of His life and mind, that this woman had been healed miraculously. This is from that Good News article I've been quoting from. I've given you this before. It says here, we do not receive enough of this divine power all at once to last forever. This power comes into you from God daily. It circulates from God into you, and then on out from you in love, in faith, in joy, in patience. I just read that to you in Galatians 5. It comes out from you in the form of fruit, spiritual fruit, fruit that's of God. But we've got to keep coming back to the source. I mean, what produces that fruit? It's God's Spirit. God's Spirit is like the sap in a tree that causes or brings forth that growth. The article says here, you might be imbued with this power yesterday and depleted of it today. So we've got to go and fill up on the power of God every day. Verse 10, it says, which in time past, this is also in 1 Peter 2, verse 10, it says, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, now we've obtained mercy. Before we were nothing. Before we were cut off. Before coming into God's family, we were nothing special at all. Paul said in Ephesians 2 that we were without Christ. We were apart from Christ. We were strangers. We had no hope. We were aliens. He uses that word aliens in Ephesians 2. But now, it says, Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, are made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's in Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13. Now we're near to God. Well, how do we draw near to God the Father and to Jesus Christ? Well, in the same way that you would draw near to someone in the flesh. You would spend a lot of time with them. You would talk to them. You would have long conversations with them. You would spend time with them. Think about your children. Think about your spouse. Think about your family. God is a family. And so God wants to dwell with his children. God wants to spend time with his children. Staying here in 1 Peter 2, I read you verses 9 and 10. But down in verse 21, this was the memory verse I mentioned. It says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." See, if we follow the steps of Christ, he leads us right to the Father. He leads us right to the Father of the family. Back in Ephesians, this is Ephesians 5. We sometimes call this the marriage chapter. You get into the subject of marriage in verses 21 and 22. But really, if you study the entirety of this book, the book of Ephesians, I mean, the book is about family from start to finish. It talks about the household of God in chapter 2. It speaks of the whole family in heaven in chapter 3. It talks about how that the church family is organized, fitly framed together in chapter 4. And then you get into marriage. In chapter 5. And then we've already touched on a couple verses from chapter 6. And there you have that long section about the armor of God. I mean, this is what we've got to put on every day. And as we do that and then pray in the Spirit as we read, that's how you protect and preserve the family of God. It takes work every day to replenish that supply of God's power. Ephesians 5:14, it says, "Wherefore he says, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I mean, we're living in evil days. You don't need me to tell you this. If you listen to the first segment on these shows, you know that we're living in the very last days and that the countdown is on. Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth, and we're going to appear before the judgment seat. Verse 17, it says, "Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Eternal is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't fill up on the mind-altering physical substances that in some cases it's killing Americans by the tens of thousands. So much hopelessness, so much addiction to drugs, alcohol, and all of these things. And people dying by the tens of thousands. And God says, look, resist against those pulls, those temptations. Don't fill up on the substances of this world, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus Christ endeavored to do every day of his earthly ministry, to fill up on the power of God. And he had the Spirit without measure. We've been given a smaller portion, but still, we want to aim for increasing that supply every day. We don't want to use it as an excuse. Well, I'm not Jesus Christ. Or even another example, like Herbert Armstrong. Well, I mean, he was the one that raised up this incredible work for God over the course of his 50-year ministry. We can't excuse poor behavior on our part by saying, well, I just don't measure up. Be filled, God says to you, and he says it to me, he says it to all of us, be filled with the Spirit of God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.